The following is a Leading the Way special presentation.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Leading the Way. Today, we share part two of our special Finding True Peace event in Sydney, Australia. Thousands have joined us that night. Hundreds came forward to make decisions for Christ and receive Him as Savior and Lord. It was a special evening of praise, testimony, and truth from the Word of God. Join us now for part two of Leading the Way in Sydney.
I find him very inspirational, and the way he talks is down to earth and straight to the point, and hoping to get a lovely biblical message to lift up and inspire people.
I'll get the truth. That's why I like listening to Dr. Yusuf, because I know he doesn't add or take away from the Word of God, and that's what excites me.
Michael Yusuf, always impressive, always speaks from his heart. God bless his ministry.
I love Dr. Michael Yusuf. I have been a partner with him for nearly 10, 15 years. I love him. I love his ministry. And I'm so happy that he's here for us.
To just be able to hear Dr. Yusuf live, I've heard him on the radio. My friends have talked about him and seeing his story and how God has used him. A great encouragement.
Welcome to Leading the Way in Sydney, Finding True Peace. Come along with us today as we join Dr. Michael Yusuf in Australia for a special time of praise, testimony, and truth from God's Word. In this Finding True Peace event, Dr. Yusuf will be sharing the word from the International Convention Center in the heart of Sydney. Dr. Yusuf will also be joined by special musical guest, Mac Powell. This special begins now.
I want to talk to you about three things. Three double barrel pillars. The first one is a double burden. And the second, the double invitation. And thirdly, the double blessing. I want that to just sink in your mind so you don't forget it, okay? So the question is, what are those double burdens? They are travailing and they are burdens. They're both two sides of the same coin, really. They're both sides of the human weariness. One is active, one is passive. The word burden expresses the weariness of carrying a heavy load. It means being tired of carrying a heavy burden of sin and guilt and worry and anxiety. It doesn't merely mean that it is a physical burden. It can be that, but it is mostly a spiritual burden. It is an emotional burden. It is a psychological burden. It is a burden of sin which we all born with. Listen closely. Every human being who have yet to respond to Jesus' invitation, not the ones who have responded, they're all alike Cain in Genesis 4:13. Cain said, "My burden is greater than I can bear." To all guilt-weary, to all life-despairing, to all hopeless travelers, Jesus is saying to you, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, and I'll give you peace of mind. Come to me, and I will give you power for living. Jesus is offering double invitation. The first invitation, come to me. Jesus is not inviting you to a religion. Far from it. Jesus not inviting you to come to a denomination. Jesus not inviting you to come to a certain church. No, he's inviting you to come to him. Come to Jesus. Jesus is inviting you to come to him, who's the only Savior and Lord. Jesus is inviting you to come from sin to salvation. He's inviting you to come from enslavement to sin to freedom. He's inviting you to come from death to life. He's inviting you to come from darkness and sorrow to light and joy. So God's first call to Adam, it was an invitation. Even it doesn't sound like it, but it was an invitation. When he said to him, "Adam, where are you?" It's not because God did not know where Adam was. No, it was because God was calling him. He was inviting him. Adam, come to me. Repent of your sin. Confess your sin, and I will forgive you. But like a good, strong man, instead of repenting and responding to God's invitation, Adam offered excuses for his sins. He offered rationalization of his sin. He blamed everybody else for his sin. And certainly, like a good man, he blamed his wife. Adam tried to pass the buck instead of repenting. God wanted to hear those words, "I have sinned, forgive me." But he didn't. It is a joy for me to know that the word come, that invitation, is mentioned 1,900 times in the Bible. In Isaiah 55:3, come and hear. In John 1:46, come and see. In Isaiah 1:18, come and reason with me. In Matthew 11:28, come and rest. Isaiah 55:1, come and buy without money. In John chapter 7, verse 37, come and drink precious living water that will never make you thirsty again. In Revelation 22:7, come and take. Invitations all over the scripture. And the second invitation is to come and learn. First, come to him. You have to do that first. Then come and learn. Earlier, I said to you, Jesus is not inviting you to come to a church. But this second invitation cannot be accomplished without Christian fellowship with other believers, because they'll encourage one another and uplift one another. But there is a prerequisite to this coming and learning from Jesus. Prerequisite. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. You cannot learn from Jesus unless you accept Jesus. See, the word yoke here is a figure of speech. Now, those of you who English is second language, you understand some of the challenges. And when I came here 54 years ago, I had some challenges, having grown up with Semitic languages and trying to explain things, and it was very difficult. But you see, the word yoke here is a figure of speech. Unless you understand it that way, you will be confused. It means come and submit to me. It means come and serve me. It means come and surrender to me. Oh, but there's also a play on words that's very, very, very Semitic. A yoke, by its very nature, is heavy and will make you weary if you put it on your shoulder. I've seen, growing up, oxen with heavy yokes going around and around and around. By very nature, yokes are heavy. The yoke of sin is filled with pain and guilt and shame and regret. But today, you can throw off that yoke and take Jesus' yoke. You say, wait a minute, Michael, am I going to replace one yoke with another? Well, you're very clever if you actually thought it. Because Jesus' yoke is very easy. Jesus' yoke is very light. Jesus' yoke is a featherweight. His yoke is filled with joy and peace. His yoke is good and uplifting. His yoke is kind and filled with blessings. Now, my dear friends, I came all the way here to tell you, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, every human being that is ever born of a woman is born with a yoke. Every one of us. And either it is the crushing yoke of sin and guilt, or it is the yoke of Jesus, which is filled with joy and peace. And that is why Jesus also promised everyone who accepts his invitation that his yoke, that is his guidance in life, is extremely light. It's a delight. It's a delight. My friends, living with Christ is joyous. living without Christ can be crushing. His leading for us is pure delight. First of all of human suffering under double trouble, burden and weariness. Secondly, Jesus offers double invitations. First, come to me, and second, submit to me. Surrender to me. Learn from my word. And thirdly, that's where I come in finally to the third doubles here, and it's double blessing. Double blessing. Don't miss what I'm going to tell you, please. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The Christian message is a truthful message. There is no false advertising in coming to Jesus. There is no small print in that invitation that Jesus issued. There is no fake news. Only good news. Only truthful news. As I said, and I'm going to repeat it, only Jesus can give you rest. Why? Because only Jesus can wash away all of your sin and guilt. Because only Jesus, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to give you rest and to give rest to everyone who will accept his invitation and come to him, only Jesus can give you that rest. Why only Jesus? Because he created you. He created us. He knows every cell in our body. He knows every nook and cranny in our brains. And as our creator, he knows what blesses us. He knows what blesses you and you and you and you individually. And he does not just pass them on. He gives it to you individually. That meets your need individually. Because he knows you by name. He loves you by name. And he wants you to come to him by name. Let me tell you something very important about Jesus' forgiveness of sin. When you come to him, he doesn't just forgive you today, but he forgives you today. All of your past sins, all of the present sins, and all of your future sins. And as a godly woman by the name of Corrie ten Boom used to say, when Jesus took away your sins and he threw them in the deepest sea, he put a sign out there, he said, no fishing allowed. The rest that Jesus gives you is like the trust of a child asleep in his mother's arm. Will you accept his invitation? Will you accept his invitation? Here's what you can expect when you accept Jesus' invitation. The internal war, you know what I'm talking about. The internal war inside of you will find rest. The external storms will be stilled by him. Your mind conflict will experience peace. When you come to Jesus, his rest and his peace will fill your heart and your mind. Even when you face all of regular problems of life. And the Bible, speaking of Jesus, it says, he is our peace. So the peace that he gives you is none other than he himself. You have Jesus himself. And here Jesus' double blessing is not only rest for your soul, is not only a total assurance of eternal life with him forever in heaven, but also contentment in this life. Let me finally tell you something the Apostle Paul said about that resurrection. It's very important, very important. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul said, because of this resurrection of Jesus, he became the only one who's qualified to be your judge and my judge. You see, that's what gave him the qualification to be the judge. And you have a choice. You can receive him as your Savior, Redeemer, Friend, Lord, or you can reject him and then face him in the day of judgment as your judge. It's the choice is yours. The Apostle Paul said, times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent. Why? He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by this man Jesus, and he gave proof. He gave proof that he will be the judge, that he's qualified, the only one qualified to be our judge, by raising him from the dead. Now I'm going to come to a solemn moment, to the end. Real rest for your soul is only available when you come to Jesus, when you yield to Christ, when you follow him. But that's the first step. Then the rest of your life, you become a disciple of Jesus, a disciple of Christ. The first step toward heaven begins here on earth. But there's something very important I want to tell you before I close. You don't first try to improve yourself in order to be accepted by God. Did you get that? This I used to think. Growing up in a Christian home, I was filled with guilt. And I knew. And I would say, if I clean up my act, God will accept me. If I improve, God will accept me. If I just get better, God will accept me. How wrong I was. How wrong I was. You don't need to first reform yourself before you come to him. You don't need to first clean up your act, as it were, before you come to him. You don't have to do anything other than come to him. That's all you need to do. Come to Jesus. When you come to him, just as you are, he will do all of the cleaning that is necessary in your life, as he does in me. He will do all that is needed to be done to give you his double blessings. A songwriter many years ago put it this way: just as I am, without one single plea, except for your blood that was shed for me. That's the only plea. And that you, bidding me, inviting me to come to you. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Will you come to him? Will you accept his invitation? Come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Would you stand up with me, please? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you say, Michael, I really am tired and weary of all my efforts and all the things I'm trying to do, I want to come to Jesus tonight. I want to surrender to him. Just slip up your hand in the air and keep it up there for a moment, please. Because I'm going to pray with you and we're going to give you some material to help you. I am tired of doing it my way. It's not working. I'm trying to improve and it's not working. I'm trying to get better and it's not working. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to surrender to him tonight. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Come to him. And he will not be ashamed of you in that great day. Just make your way through. Come. 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 You hear his voice. The Bible said, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Our precious Heavenly Father, there are no words to express my gratitude for calling me on that night, Wednesday night, March 4th, 1964. And I thank you that you have never left me, not for a second. I thank you that you are my Savior and my Lord. And now I pray for these precious friends with whom I'm going to be spending eternity in heaven. I pray for each one. You know the circumstances from which they come. You know the homes from which they come. You know the difficulties that they face. You know the challenges that they are facing. But Father, I thank you that nothing is impossible for you. And I thank you that they have the courage to come down, surrender to you, and give their life to you. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, that you walk with them. And Father, I pray that not only that you bless them, but you bless all the families they represent. For I pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. And all of God's people said, praise the Lord.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made.
See the stars.
I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display.
Sing it out, church.
Then sings my soul. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think,
and when I think that God is so not sparing, send him to die. Scarce can take it in.
That on the cross,
that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Yeah.
How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Oh, then sings.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
The church in Sydney is alive. Amen.
It is the value of your soul that caused the God of power and might to hang helplessly on a wooden cross. Because God loves you. He really loves you.
I was on a spiritual seeking journey. I was trying to find myself spiritually. So I was just looking into something, someone, reaching out somewhere spiritually to find myself.
We ended up going to a New Age church. The people were talking about dead people and wanted to connect to them. But it wasn't until I started having demonic attacks, I realised what I was caught in. I felt stuck. I thought there was no way out. I knew I needed help. I come home from work one day and something clear in me said, call out for help. And I just looked up at the ceiling and I said, if you're there, I surrender to you. And 3 nights later, I have that encounter with Jesus. And he tells me he loves me.
I did not believe a word he said, not until his character started changing.
God was drawing her, and I think she started to believe.
We were continually going to places, events, conferences, trying to find a hit of God.
We ended up going to the event of Dr. Yusuf. He talked about rebellion is the only core root of sin, and that comes from us. We choose to rebel.
Whenever we talk about sins, we're talking about the fruit. But the fruit is not going to be taken care of unless the root has been taken care of.
I remember Holy Spirit was drawing me closer. I was seeking more. I knew there was more to whatever I was experiencing. And I stood up and said, you know, I put my hands up. I said, I want more. I need more. I know there's more.
When you humbly accept his dying on that cross to be for your redemption, you will find eternal life. You will be assured of heaven.
The enemy's not going to give up. He's still going to come and come and come, and he comes after you, especially if you're going to tell truth and bear all and give yourself to God completely. You've got the choice. Are you going to listen to those lies, or are you going to push through to truth?
Yep, that's it.
Thank you for joining us for part two of our Finding True Peace event in Sydney, Australia. I trust that this has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Several major citywide evangelistic celebrations are planned for this year, including the heart of Georgia, right in the middle of Georgia, Dublin, New England, and Cairo, Egypt. I hope that you will join with us in this ministry outreach. God bless.
You have been watching Leading the Way in Sydney, Finding True Peace from the International Convention Centre in Sydney. Thank you for joining us for Leading the Way in Sydney, Finding True Peace.
Dr. Michael Youssef's My Journal is the invaluable monthly publication of Leading the Way. Each month, you'll find My Journal offering rich, biblically-based devotionals from Dr. Youssef that help you deepen your study of Scripture. You'll also find monthly scripture prompts to help you memorize God's Word, trending articles to equip you with a biblical worldview on popular issues, and the Ask Dr. Youssef column, where Dr. Youssef answers your most pressing questions. In the monthly My Journal, you'll receive frontline ministry updates and exclusive previews of Dr. Youssef's books before they're even released, as well as special offers, free digital resources, and more. My Journal is an amazing resource to not only cultivate your own personal walk with Christ, but also to stay informed about how and where God is moving through the world today through Leading the Way. Get your free 6-month subscription today. Subscribe now at ltw.org.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.
You've been watching a special Leading the Way presentation.
The world keeps changing faster and faster. Famine, natural disasters, economic collapse. What does it all mean? Are we nearing the end? Join us next week for an in-depth discussion with Dr. Youssef and a special guest host as they unpack what Jesus has to say about the end times. You won't want to miss this opportunity to hear directly from Dr. Youssef's heart regarding these chaotic times in which we live. Be sure to tune in next week here on Leading the Way.